Hey, everybody, welcome to the UJ Sports Live podcast. We are live from our homes. We're live from our houses. We do not have Coach Donnan on. We will have Jim Donnan on a separate podcast later in the week. Dane Young did one last Friday with Coach Donnan. Great insight. If you haven't watched that one, please, for the love of Pete, go check it out. Coach Donnan has great takes on how Georgia's handling this, how he would have handled it. Great insight on, I mean, he's been a coach for forever. So, and he's also connected Georgia ways nobody else is. So his insights into the current situation, like the how the quarterbacks are dealing with this, was fantastic last week. Be sure to check it out. And then come back again this week, this Friday, Dane and Coach Donnan will have another podcast. In the meantime, you're watching UGA Sports Live. We are not on Facebook. We're on YouTube. If you would, please share this and go ahead and send us your comments. We'd love to check them out. We'd appreciate it if you share this as many places as you can. I am joined by Trent Smallwood. A lot of people said, hey, when are you going to have Trent on? Well, we got Trent on. We have Jake Roos on, the liquor hoarder. He is on the show as well. Dane Young, who is running the control board and will be popping us questions. If you have a question and you put it in the comments, Dane will get it and throw it out to the group. And, of course, I'm Roddy Nabulsi. The circus ringleader, you know, so just trying to keep a ride hoard over these guys. And the funny thing is, everyone's like, how are you guys handling this? Well, this is what we do. This is where we work. There's not a UGASports.com office. We all work from home. So this is not new to us. It's new to our spouses, but it's not a new thing for us. So we've been going along. And to that end, the reason I bring that up is because we would love to be at Classic City Eats having a beer and food, but that is not on the table. But shout out to Classic City Eats. They are closed right now. They're not even doing curbside. Josh and then Amy said, you know, right now, we'll just reopen when this thing abates. So what are they doing with all that food? They are taking all the food they have to foster homes and feeding the people there. So shout out to Classic City Eats for, you know, being great community patrons. And just want to give them a big shout out. Of course, a big shout out to our friends at Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company. Academia Brewing Company also feeding a ton of people, feeding a ton of kids, feeding a ton of people in the homeless shelters. They are, you can actually help them if you go to Academia Brewing Company on Facebook. They have a couple of GoFundMes up. You can help fund their feeding of people in the community. So I think it's a really nice thing they're doing. If you have, hell, 10 bucks, you know, a few dollars on hand, if you could help out Academia Brewing Company, we would greatly appreciate it because they are helping out the community. I'm excited about the show we have today. Like I said, we all work from home, so there's no real change for us except our locations. But to that end, yesterday, we broke some pretty big news. Jake, you want to tell everybody what it was?
Yeah, you know, this was one that people had been starved, I guess. It wasn't really that long ago since Marlon Dean committed to Georgia, but people were chomping at the bit. You saw Ohio State picking up commits along the way. People were saying, when's our turn? Georgia breaks the seal yesterday with a big addition, and that's from Jonathan Jefferson, a four-star defensive tackle, probably a guy who's an end, depending on how things shake out for him. But a four-star guy out of the Douglasville area, plays at Douglas County High School, 6'3", 6'4". Chad Simmons says he's about 285 these days, up from about 210 his freshman year. So the kid is packing on late pretty rapidly. But a good get for Georgia. Look, you need a solid defensive line haul. As you do every year, I think that this year for Georgia, it's more about, you know, stocking the coffers, making sure you've got those next men up. It's maybe not a situation where you've got guys you're going to have to rely on right as soon as they get to campus. But Jefferson's a guy who can be interesting in that regard because he's got the size, certainly. He's an early enrollee. He'll be a mid-year guy. And he's a basketball player as well. So they really like his footwork and what he's able to do on the hardwood. So be interesting to see how that development works. And Trent, I know that you just broke down the film. You know, what were some of your takeaways from it?
I mean, the first thing that stands out is his athleticism. I mean, you see him out on the You see him lining up at wide receiver and him catching touchdown passes. That's impressive for 280
pounds.
Wait,
slow down.
That's that Julian Rochester, baby.
What? He lines up at wide receiver?
He caught at least 3 touchdown passes in his highlights. What's impressive is one of them is a fade route where he jumps up in the back of the end zone and toe taps in the corner of the end zone. So
285-pound toe tap.
That's not real.
I think the one thing that stands out is, like Jake said, that his frame allows him to he's not fully built out. And he's still a little slim, and I think he can pack on pounds. I think he can be that interior guy, that 3-tech defensive lineman. But I like his first step. Of course, he has some pad level issues at times, but I really like the pickup with guys like Malik Heron heading to the NFL after this year and Devontae Wyatt. I think he could fill in at that 3-tech, probably 5-tech to begin his career.
So where does Marlon Dean go? I mean, is he the same guy, or is he maybe more of a one? You know, does he move in? Is he a nose possibility, or does Georgia have two of the same thing?
No, I think he's definitely interior. I think he's a one or a three lining up on the inside. He's a bigger type. He's not as explosive. But he's a bigger type body. He's not as big as Jordan Davis, but there's not many people as big as Jordan Davis.
No.
But I'd say he's more on the side. Like, he's a little bigger than Michael Barnett and guys like that. He'd probably play on the interior.
All right. So I noticed that in the story we had, Jefferson said Georgia wants 4 defensive linemen. Is that does that seem right? Does that seem more, not enough, too many? What's your take on that, guys?
I think that that's a really good, you know, kind of benchmark. I think that you start there, and then if you find that yourself in a situation where there's a couple of extra of those guys floating around, you know, go ahead and take the swing and go ahead and bring those guys into the fold. It's hard to get defensive linemen who can play at this level. And so I think 4 is your bare minimum, really. But I think that you could see them, you know, that go as high as 6. I mean, they went really hard on the offensive line this last year. You know, they need to spend heavily there, make sure that they've got guys. And like I said, that position's at such a premium, and it's so tough to get guys that if you've got some talented players, I just can't see a situation where Kirby Smart's going to turn them down.
Well, I was just thinking, it seemed like 2 years ago they took 4. Last year they took 3. So this year 4. But then which to me sounds fine. It sounds normal. But at the same time, you know that they always seem to take 750 defensive backs. You know, they're always squeezing in 5 wide receivers. I'm just like, just wondering how the numbers work out, because it seems like, you know, you have that trio out of Tennessee, you know, who are kind of untested and kind of moved back into this class. You know, there are a lot of redshirting there going on. So, then, you know, you bring in the strong class, the strong freshman class that'll be coming in. And it seems to me it's like, yeah, 4. The numbers just kind of seemed like they were bunching up there for a second. So, but you're right.
Well, I think part of it comes down to, and you pointed it out well, is that Tennessee group. Does, you know, Donovan's high on Bill Norton. I know he's mentioned that recently, but, you know, will Zion Logue take a step this year? Will you see Tymon Mitchell kind of become that guy at the one? You know, a lot of that is still to be determined. And I think based on how those guys perform, whenever they get a chance to do so, I was going to say this spring, but whenever they get a chance to do so, I think that could really factor into what Georgia decides to do in terms of the numbers, because if they don't see those guys making strides, then you got to kind of backfill.
I think one thing too, Roddy, that you might see is Georgia's had to rely on some of these older guys that kind of stick around the program for a little bit longer, whether it be a Julian Rochester this year or a Barnett from, you know, the last couple of years. I don't think Kirby Smart necessarily wants to have to do that. Obviously, if the option's there, you want as much depth as possible. But I don't think you want to be relying on people, if anything else, maybe just for the confidence that some of the previous recruits will be 3 and done and off to the NFL. So you have to be prepared for that sense.
That's a good point. You know, think of the amount of playing time Justin Young got. I mean, at one point, I hate to say it, but I'd almost forgotten that Justin Young was on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, then all of a sudden he's out there making plays and, you know, getting a lot of snaps. And yeah, when you take a guy like Julian Rochester, what, we had him in the top 100, didn't we?
I believe so. He may have fallen just out on the last ranking.
Yeah, but
I think he fell out.
All right, but there was one point where he was really high up there, and you know, his weight fluctuated, but you know, then he got hurt. But when he showed up at Georgia, he lost some weight, was really moving well. But then think about it, what would have been his senior year, they redshirted him. You know, it's like, wow, because you need him for next year. So you're right about the whole depth thing. But I was just thinking with the sheer number of guys they brought in the last 2 years, it's, you know, another four when you know that you need these other parts. So I mean, it makes sense. And there's no point in turning down, you know, a Dean. There's no point turning down a Jefferson. If you can get Mason, you know, number two player in the nation, you take it. But when you did your what this means now, there was a list of like, what do you have, 10 guys in there? 10 other options? At least. So,
yeah, I mean,
where do we go from there? I mean, there seems like you've got two and you want Mason, but you're taking four. Do you hold a spot for Mason till the end? And you only take one out of that whole list of 13 guys? I mean,
if it's me, I don't, because look, the kid's in Louisiana. I mean, it's LSU. You're playing ball with LSU right now. I'm just not going to do that. It harkens back to the John Emery recruitment in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've always got to be concerned about Louisiana kids staying at home, especially the later it gets down the stretch. And I do think Mason Smith is legitimately interested in Georgia, but it's doing Georgia no favors that he was supposed to be on campus this past weekend. It's doing Georgia no favors that they've never hosted him before. You can bet that they're, you know, on the FaceTime, on the text, giving him calls, whatever. But he's had a chance to get to LSU a couple of times, and that's just out of it being easy for him. And I think that that's a big advantage for them, especially given the weird circumstances around this class.
That makes sense. What are you thinking, Trent, when they go going forward, who do you like for Georgia to add to this class? I know that I think our most visited thread every year so far has been your predicted signing class. You know, the guys that, George's going to get. And I know now you update it. You know, it's not like, hey, here's the 25 guys they're going to get, because guys fluctuate. They go up and down. And we get insider information where kid tells you, yeah, I'm going to commit to Georgia. Try to go back to who's the cornerback at Clemson, wound up being a five-star. At one point, we knew that he was going to – was it AJ?
Terrell? AJ Terrell?
Yeah. At one point, you know, we're like, oh, yeah, we were told, hey, Terrell's going to commit to Georgia by someone in his family. It didn't happen, you know, but so that might be a guy that you'd move into that predict that thread. Hey, you know, projected Georgia's projected class. But then later on, you know, you drop him out because all of a sudden, hey, guess what? So-and-so's not a take. This kid told us he's coming to Georgia, but from what we're hearing is there's not a spot for him. So your projected signing class evolves. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. How does Georgia fill out this these final two spots? If they're only going with four, who do you like?
I got to be honest. The defensive line was it was tough to project, and I just basically got lucky with the first two. So,
well, you're not supposed to say.
Don't tell people that.
I threw darts, and it worked.
Well, I made the comment when I first initially did this.
I build you up, prediction. And this is what you give me.
When I first initially did this class prediction, I said defensive line is very hard to project in this class because,
yeah.
I mean, they got – I mean, guys like Leonard Taylor down in Miami, Florida. You got the Tyreek South. You got Tim Keenan. I mean, you got guys all over the map that I could see Georgia getting seriously involved with. But the issue is this coronavirus is kind of taking all the spring visits and the summer visits and the opportunity for Georgia to build those relationships and get them on campus. So I think it was smart to go ahead and take the in-state guys, get those two commitments, and then you can build off there because, I mean, what's this going to look like in 3 months? We don't know. And let's go and have a two in the bag and start try to continue building relationships with these other guys out of Louisiana and Florida and all over the map.
It feels really weird this year. Go ahead, Jake.
No, I think that you're going to see a big home spin for most teams this year because of just the background that these teams have. And I think, too, in a situation like this, which is, you know, unfamiliar, people are bunkering down with their families, kids will want to be close to home. And I think that that'll kind of hammer it home for them. You know, but I do think one of the guys that I'm keeping close eyes on, and I encourage people to go over, check out the recruiting diaries that we put up last week at UGASports.com, because we're getting basically these guys in their own words. And we got one from Elijah Judy. And I feel really good about Georgia's chances with him right now. It's between Georgia and Texas A&M for him
right
now.
Explain to the folks who don't know who he is. Explain
so Judy, life, so Judy is
Jerry Judy's little brother.
that would be honestly I meant to ask if they're related. I don't think they are, though. He is he's
well, it's not like you've though. Grown so, up with a ton of Judys, you know, so all of a sudden
spelled that way.
Yeah, exactly. Like are you sure?
No, yeah, so, he's a Philly guy, though, so he knows Mark Webb and DeAndre Swift. He's out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, goes to Northeast High School up there. Number 196 in the nation, four-star guy, 6'2", 230, probably 6'3", if I were guessing. To me, reminds me a lot of like what David Marshall was like, kind of at a similar stage in his career. I think that he could kind of be that guy. And, you know, it's really been impressed upon him, you know, the Philly connection and DeAndre Swift and Webb and how those guys have been able to see their careers sort of flourish in Athens. And that's something that he's taken into big account. Not only that, but Judy's one of those guys who in this class has had a chance to get down to Athens and spend time on campus and be around coaches. And I think that was huge for Georgia to go ahead and get him on because, you know, now with everything shut down, even the in-state visits, you know, those are going to be lingering memories for these guys.
You'd mentioned guys staying at home. You know, this is it might change some folks' calculus on how far away do I want to get from the family. And again, this is a once in a lifetime event. But if you're 16, 17, 18 year old and you're finishing out your classes online for the rest of your junior year, you know, this is going to have an effect on you. There's this generation coming up is, you know, my generation strongly affected by the Challenger tragedy. You know, we all were, but you know, this happened when we were kids. It was different for kids. The kids, you know, I was running a store when 9/11 happened, but I mean, what do you tell the 14, 15, 16 year olds when that happened? I'm sure that affected their mindset. Now you're going to have people who've lived through this. And it's like, you know, I guarantee you going forward, this every subsequent generation or, you know, the kids that are growing when they're growing up, you go into their crappy little apartments and they're going to have 75 rolls of toilet paper. You know, it's just going to affect how they go about their lives. But when they know of friends and family who have been stuck in other places, you know, they travel comes to a halt, you know, and you're told to stay at home and stuff like that. They're like, well, I don't know if I want to go too far away from home because what if I need to get back quickly? You know, and again, and it may not even be a conscious thought, but it's somewhere in your mind because of going through this. So I really like the series you're doing, talking to these kids about if you haven't checked it out, folks, go to UGASports.com right now. If you're not a member, you can become a member for free until July 1st. So just go to UGA Sports and put in code UGAFREE2020. UGAFREE2020. That gets you free access to UGA Sports until July 1st. Now, if you cancel before then, you won't be charged on July 1st when it automatically renews. I don't want you to cancel, but you're not going to hurt my feelings. We just want you to have access to not only all of our stories, but also to the message board. There's great conversations going on at the Dog Vent. It's the largest community of Georgia fans. The conversations are fantastic. I put up a thread the other day saying, look, if you're a small business owner in Georgia, or you're a small business owner who Yes. I was hoping for a kid or a dog. Yes. Hey, darling. Put her on camera.
Say hey. Say hey.
That's awesome. Hey,
it's like a recruit, man. Only wants to talk to you until you put them on camera.
Exactly. I want people to be, if you are a UGA fan that owns a business, or you are a UGA alum who owns a business, we want you to be able to go to the event and share where you're located and how we can help you. You know, how we can be a patron of your business. So just like we have our standard advertisers here, that's the type of threads we have at UGASports.com. We also have a ton of news. I mean, we've broken a ton of news since this whole shutdown came along. And like I said yesterday, we broke the news that Georgia had a new commit. You guys are doing great stuff. But I want to get back to the fact that I love the recruiting diaries you're doing, because you can get a good sense of what these guys are going through and what they think about it. Now, for a lot of them, a whole lot didn't change, because they're still getting a ton of texts from every coach who's recruiting them. You know, they all all the coaches like, look, we're stuck at home. We're not allowed to go to our office. So what are we going to do? We're going to hit up every recruit on our list, everybody in our area, everybody at our position that we coach, they hit them up. And you were talking about that, Jake, in your stories about the sheer number of, you know, these guys are saying, yeah, I'm getting tons of texts, tons of checkups, coaches checking, make sure everything is going like it wants to be. But you can kind of see the thought process there. And to go back to Trent's point, I do think you will see folks really sticking on to the recruits sticking kind of close to home, because again, how many times has Brock been to Georgia? I mean, he lives right down the road, so he's been there 100 times. You know, how many times had Marlon Dean been to UGA? A bunch of times. How many times had Jonathan Jefferson been there and stuff? Mason Smith holds off because he's never been. So Georgia has 4 commits right now. All 4 of them are from the Peach State. Last year, we were sending Jake to California, Las Vegas. Where else? I mean, Maryland.
Utah.
Utah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sent them all over the place. And again, Georgia can recruit nationwide, but I think right now, when the crap hits the fan, what do? You go back to what you know. Plus, it doesn't hurt, Trent, that in Georgia this year, you have one hell of a 2021 class.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the recent decommitment of Deion Colsey. That's a big one to watch. I mean, and that's another.
Now, who's that?
Goes back. Deion Colsey out of he's from Athens, so, or he's playing ball in Athens. So
plays at Athens Academy. What position is he?
Wide receiver.
And what is committed to Notre Dame? Georgia have a 5-star quarterback about 10 minutes from him.
I believe so. I believe.
I'm just saying, you know, if you can social distance by about 35 yard post routes apart.
That's what I'm saying. You got to think Brock Vandegrift's like, hey buddy, why don't you go stand at the 50 and I'll stand in the end zone and we'll just play some toss.
And this is another one of those situations where, I mean, he was committed to Notre Dame. This is home, and going through this situation that we're in right now is that is a situation that could keep close to home. So,
well, wasn't that the whole thing with Brock Vandegrift, the 5-star quarterback who's going to Prince Avenue about 10 minutes outside of Athens? You know, he was committed to Oklahoma, and he's like, that's just too damn far away.
Yeah, it was.
Did he go for a visit or something? Yeah, it was Christmas. Okay, yeah.
No, it was Christmas. He spent time with his family, and essentially, like, you know, they were all very encouraging and said, "Hey, you know, congratulations on your decision. We're fully supportive, and you know, the only thing that we kind of regret is that we won't get to see more of your games. It's going to be tough for us to get to Norman. So maybe we'll see you play, you know, 1 or 2 times over the course of your college career." And when he kind of got back to his house and sat down and thought about that, you know, he said, I want the opportunity for my grandparents to see me play. I want the opportunity for everybody, my whole family, to be at all of my games if possible. And, you know, that just wasn't going to end up being the case in Norman. And so, you know, it's interesting that that happened prior to all of this, because you have to think that this would have driven it home even further.
Yeah, I think that's, and I'm not saying that proves that case. It's all anecdotal. And again, this is just a working theory, but I think when you have a situation like this, it is going to, at some base level, make these kids think, you know, maybe going and playing at USC or, you know, playing, going all the way up to Ohio State or Michigan, maybe that's not the thing for me. And I could be completely wrong, and maybe I'm just projecting current fears onto the population at large, but I could just see a situation where what happened with Brock at Christmas, these kids kind of feel the same thing. Now, that does not bode well for a lot of schools like Tennessee, who have to recruit out of state. It works great for Georgia. It works great for, you know, California and Texas teams, because you're just in a state with loaded talent. But you remember, Georgia's also trying to pull kids from all over the country, and it works against them on those. Am I wrong?
Sure. And no, totally. I agree. And I think, though, the part of the discussion has to center around the fact that, like, if you were going to pull a kid out of, let's say, a California, like you did Kendall Milton last year, mm-hmm. Kendall Milton at this point had visited Georgia. I mean, and I'm talking about March, had visited for spring practice. He had visited for a junior day in January. He'd visited for a game his junior year. He had had a chance to be on this campus and really kind of get the sense of what it was going to be like to live there, you know, even in a weird circumstance such as this, or to be there full time. He had a chance to grow the comfort, and you're just not seeing that ability for a guy like Mason Smith, who's never had a chance to visit Georgia. You know, will one visit in the fall be enough? Will even two visits be enough? You know, so many of these guys, it takes a couple of times if you're going to come that far out to really kind of get the feel of, can I do this? Can I be there?
Well, and to that end, one of the questions that I've been seeing a lot is what is actually happening in recruiting now? Here's a question from Twitter from Deep South Daniel. Do you think that there'll be a virtual visit for recruiting? Maybe something that could help athletes kind of get a feel for what Athens is, even while they're quarantined or doing the social distance. So what are coaches doing? How can they contact players?
I think go ahead.
No, I was going to say the virtual visit thing is something I put up on the board the other day, because I saw that Louisville actually has already kind of taken that step, and basically they've put it out there to all the kids. They got a coach that's just walking through dorms saying, hey, you know, take a look at this. This is where you stay. This is where players live. Didn't hurt that they worked in a co-ed when she who happened to be in the hall while they were shooting the video. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I mean,
we have naked co-eds walking the halls at all hours. Yeah, yeah.
But I think that you're going to see everybody go to that.
Went full Rick Pitino, didn't they?
Especially the longer this goes, I think that you're going to have to go that model. But
there's a problem with that, Jake.
Which
right now the university is closed. You're not allowed to do that.
That's true. Yeah.
You better hope that you had filmed it beforehand.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, if you're showing off like dog walker game day stuff, that's obvious. You can pitch that all day long. You know, that sure. Video exists within athletics already. It's the dorm and the lifestyle things. And some of that does exist just from a UGA standpoint in terms of what the university does itself to market itself.
Yeah, I could definitely see somebody going through, like Jake says, doing what Louisville did. Combing back through all the video clips, you know, UGA housing, showing that. And they've done stuff, you know, where they walk through the, like, the meal, Bolton or Snelling, and say, look, you know, this is – they have these video clips. But honestly, it's especially a nice 2-minute, 3-minute, 5-minute commercial. I don't know the kids are going to tune out. Again, there's no replacement for getting them on campus. And so that the coaches right now during this have to rely more on them selling the university than the university selling itself. I think you've made a great point, Kendall Milton. How many times did Keely Ringo come to UGA?
Yeah, I mean, 7 or 8 by the end of everything. Yeah. When it was all said and done.
If you're going to pull out the number one player, you know, in the Midwest, I mean, the Southwest, you know, you got to get him on campus a lot. And that worked for him. So I don't know if this had, you know, he'd been hampered from coming here that you'd be able to pull a guy like that. So this is when I was talking to Mason Smith, and I actually had some people hit me up after we went out to New Orleans and interviewed him. They're like, oh, come on, man. He did. He's not interested in Georgia. He's just pulling your leg. He's saying the kind thing, you know, he's talking to a Georgia guy. So he talks highly of Georgia. I'm like, you know, you don't understand. I didn't bring it up that way. I was asking him about recruiting in general. And when he mentioned Georgia, his eyes lit up. And then I said, okay, well, let's talk about Georgia. And he went on this, this long speech about how much he loved it. And again, what he loves about Georgia is his position coach. You know, he's like, Trey Scott, that's my guy. I was talking to him while he was giving his kids a bath the other day. We talk about everything. We talk all the time. And it's that relationship that the number two player in the nation has with Trey Scott that if Georgia gets him, that's going to be it. Now, we always tell kids, you know, commit to the school, not the coach, because coaches change, you know, or what happens if that guy gets hired away or you get hurt, you know, and you're not hanging out with that guy. You got to love the school. I think right now the only thing the coaches have to sell right now is themselves. You know, I love the idea of the virtual tours. And if you're Dan Lanning and you're Kirby Smart and you're Matt Luke and you're working at home, and I'm sure they're having meetings like this, you know, the Zoom meetings, they're all talking. Kirby's going to have those guys working their tails off. There's no question about it. But there's nothing else to do on campus. You don't know how to – you're not working on structuring spring practice. Spring practice is canceled. You're not worried about, hey, splitting up the teams for G-Day. G-Day's canceled, you know. You're hoping that sometime in the summer –
worried about hosting recruits on Saturdays.
You're not worried, exactly. You're not trying to line up a official, because you know they host guys and they have to pay the players. They get a small stipend for hosting a guy. You know, you're not doing all that. So all of your, and again, I don't know what all the coaches have, but it seems to me like everything that you don't have to worry about right now is more time that you can spend on recruiting. And you're limited in the amount of times you can call these guys and stuff like that. But it seems to me like right now you have to be selling the hell out of yourself, you know, and working on your relationship with these kids, because you can't, there's something about you guys wrote about how big when they first had the big light show at UGA for 6 months to a year, almost. I mean, it seems like forever, not a year, but for months, every kid we spoke to said, yeah, that light show. Wow. You know, or guys that came to that Notre Dame game, or guys that came to the Auburn game the year before, they always talked about how amazing that was. Oh, that game was crazy. That atmosphere was crazy. You know, they come on a visit and they take them down to the, we saw them hitting golf balls into the stadium, you know, they take them out, they put them on the middle of the 50 yard line. They put on all the lights and they show them, hey, this is what it's going to be like. That carries weight. For years when we would talk to a kid and they would go to the dining hall, they'd rave about the food. They're like, man, I had as many steaks as I could eat. They had a milkshake area where I had like six milkshakes, you know, and the food's amazing. They walk them through the dorm. They're like, those dorms are better than the house I live in right now. Well, now everybody has that stuff. But each one of those carries weight when the kid, as you said, Jake, can see themselves playing there. You know, they're like, oh, this would be my luck. Hey, there's 75. That's the number I wear in high school. You know, that's the number I want to get when I come here. This would be my locker. So it matters losing that. You know, you can try doing it all virtual. It just doesn't have the same teeth of being on campus. So the coach is going to have to sell the crap out of themselves. Or am I wrong?
I wonder how this is going to affect the early signing period. With, will more kids sign early or more kids just elect to wait till February because of the lack of relationships, lack of visits that they were able to take in spring?
Well, Mike Farrell,
I think you should move it back.
Well, Mike Farrell mentioned today in his 3-point stance, he said, look, I think they should just cancel it this year. Let it go.
Yeah, I agree.
He said, just go back to the one traditional signing day for this year because it gives everybody more time. Coaches are going to need more time to evaluate these kids. Coaches are going to need more time to spend with these kids. Kids are going to need the opportunity to get on campus more frequently. I mean, there are so many factors at play with it that it does make a lot of sense. Now, that makes me want to cry to think about that because I love the December signing period because it breaks up the class. But, you know, going back to tracking 50 dudes going into the first Wednesday in February was – I didn't sleep a lot for a while, but, you know, I understand the necessity of it, and I think that it does make a lot of sense this year.
If they did keep it, though, can you imagine how difficult that is for these first-year coaches in new regions? So, like a Mike Leach coming to Mississippi or Eli Drinkwitz going to Missouri, even Lane Kiffin going from Florida to Mississippi. I mean, that's not as far, but how do you even know where to begin with that when you can't go meet people?
I mean, you can't even, in a lot of cases, they haven't even had the kids in their state on campus or had a chance to meet with those kids. So, yeah, you talk about being behind the eight ball. That's tough stuff.
Yeah. Although, for some reason, I should say that I don't have sympathy for Mike Leach, you know, just because he's just a damn interesting.
Oh, he's not in Mississippi right now. He's in Key West, I promise you.
Yeah, you know, so but no, you're right. That's a big deal. And I think they should move it back. Right now, the question I keep getting is, are they going to have a football season? I'm like, whoa, man, just relax. You know, we're not even into April yet. You know, we're still a week away from April 1st. Let's not cancel the, you know, 2020 season until we get some sort of idea. Now, I do think the NCAA needs to remove or adjust the rule that states you can't have you have to have like a 9-week period between the last spring camp and the first day of fall camp. Maybe they add on an extra week at the beginning or give them a one something in the middle of the summer when I don't say that the all clear is sounded because from what I've read, I don't think there's actually an all clear, but I think when we're out of danger of overstressing our medical facilities, then, you know, some of the restrictions will be relaxed. And at that point, maybe summer school gets underway or, you know, they allow coaches to have practices, a modified camp. I mean, it's, again, people say, well, what's the NCAA going to do? Well, the NCAA is made up of the member institutions. It is the school presidents that make it up. So in other words, when we as a group decided that we wanted to do today's show on YouTube, that's the decision we made as a group. There's no one telling us what we have to do. There is no NCAA that tells
you tell us what we have to do.
Well, but again, no one's telling me what to do. You know, so we're allowed to do it how we want to because it's made up of our group. It's the same way with NCAA. It's made up of the schools that participate. Its participation is voluntary. It's made up of the university presidents. The university presidents can all get together and say, okay, in order to be fair to everybody, we're going to allow for a 10-day summer camp. You can have 10 practices, you know, instead of the 15. Must be completed by July 13th, you know, and then the kids are allowed to go, kids are allowed to go home or do whatever, and then you can start practices on August 1st. In other words, they can make up the rules as they go. And normally we say making up the rules as you go is stupid. You need to have this, you know, don't change in the middle of the screen. But this is a situation where there's not some overriding government rule that states what you can do. They are allowed to change things as they want. So if they say, well, if we get rid of the early signing period, well, what will that? No, hey, one time this year, let these coach, the new coaches, give them the extra time to get to recruit.
You're not establishing. This is not a time to establish precedence.
Exactly.
This is not. This is a totally unique situation, unlike anything anybody's ever been through. So it's not like you're setting the stage and saying, "Yes, this is just we're throwing everything we've built away." You know, I agree. I think totally. And you've got to think too, as you mentioned, it's university presidents that make up the NCAA. Look. Those guys know how much money this generates, not only for their schools and their programs, but for the towns that they're in, for the donors that these people have within the towns as well. those guys are going to do, in my estimation, everything they possibly can. This isn't going to be a situation where you see them kind of sit back, I think, and try to play cautious. I think for God's sake, Georgia was ready to come back to school after spring break for about 2 hours. So, you know, those guys are not trying to miss out on those sweet, sweet dollars.
We got a question from the YouTube chat if we want to get to that. Light Dog 1968 asks, who is Georgia looking at for running back recruiting in 2021?
Giving that one to Smallwood.
What's that question?
2021 running back.
He's listening to his kids. Shut up.
I mean, that's another tough one because, you got an in-state guy in Brown who they could, you know, lean on for this class, but then they got Donovan Edwards up in Michigan who, I guess, the relationship and the chance to get him on campus is kind of, you know, not there right now. And that could really benefit Michigan down the road because he is from the state and this might be a lure to stay up north. So, I think Cody Brown's a name to watch, but I guess there's a couple of names down here. You got
Evan Pryor's off the board now because he went with Ohio State. Travion Henderson looks to be trending that way too, but it'll be interesting to see how that kind of all shakes out. Will Shipley's another guy I think that people need to remember for sure. Lavoisier Carroll is a kid that kind of falls into what all of this that we're talking about, you know, staying close to home. Looked like Florida was really making some ground with Carroll, the four-star, formerly of Warren County, but now he's at IMG. Looked like they were really making some strides, but, you know, this could be a kid who's kind of in that vein of like, hey, maybe I miss Warrington a little bit more now that everything's kind of gotten a little weird.
Amari Daniels has a little definitely. Connection up. I think he compared to said like James Cook or whatever. So that could be a name to watch too.
But yeah, is Amari the one from Miami?
Yes, he is. In fact, he's at Central, which was with Cook's high school. So yeah, they're very familiar with each other. And all those Miami guys, I don't think people really understand. Like Miami is like the smallest town on earth when it comes to football. Like those guys know each other. They are tight. They're buddies. They know the older guys. Those older guys come back and help out. You know, it's very reciprocal in Miami. So he knows, you know, your Tyreek Stevensons, your Tyson Campbells, et cetera, Devon Wilson.
Yeah. How many running backs did they take in this class?
My guess would be two. But I think they would be okay with one if they get the right one, but I would lean toward them taking two.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think that you one is okay, two probably ideal. I think honestly two's ideal every year, but this is a class where I think they could afford to go one just based on the numbers that they've taken previously.
So get Cody Brown and be done with it?
I don't know.
Is he a guy that if you take him, you have to get another back?
I think that he's part of a two back take.
Okay. No, that's just interesting. No, because he's the in-state guy at a little bit. So when you say if they get one, okay. Well, let me ask you this way: if they're taking one, if they can only take one because he's the right one, and you don't need to take two, who's the guy that is a one? Like with Kendall Milton. Kendall Milton, you're done. I mean, getting Dejon Edwards is great, but you know you don't have to have it because you got a Kendall Milton. You know. So who is it Edwards is the guy? If you get him, then you're safe going with just one.
I would say it's Edwards.
Yeah, that's my estimation as well. I think that if you got Edwards, you could probably just ride on that.
Well, it's tough pulling a kid out like that out of Michigan. So
I think a lot depends on what the direction of the offense also. I think you're gonna see more wide receivers taken. It's not gonna be as much, I would say, ground and pound. I think it's gonna be I think you're going to have more wide receivers taken moving forward.
To that extent, I think that there's a true offensive philosophical shift in how Kirby Smart is running this program. That's where you'll see it the most is in what players are recruited at what positions. Because, look, if Jamie Newman went out and had a Heisman contending year and Georgia's in a Final Four, then that makes Todd Monken look really good and he'll be coveted by other teams either as a head coach or as an NFL offensive coordinator or maybe even an NFL head coach. So if the true philosophical change is happening, it's going to be slightly independent of Monken alone, because it's not like you're going to flip back to something else should he leave after a year or two.
Sure.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And that's if anything bugs me the most about them canceling spring practice, again, I'm not worried about it because what we're doing now is much more important than spring practice. But when you look at the, I wish this had happened, woulda, coulda, shoulda, I really kind of wanted to see what, and again, Kirby's not going to let us watch what the offense they install. And when G-Day rolled around, it was going to be a very vanilla G-Day. We were going to see a lot. But we would have gotten word. That's the great thing about UGSports.com is we have a lot of great insiders who tell us what's going on inside the program. And it would have been nice to kind of get a feel for what the installs looked like and how they were progressing. Because think about it, Monken's coming in. He's going to install his offense against the best defense in the nation. And I'm not trying to use hyperbole. I'm just saying that last year, Georgia's defense was number one in the nation. They did not lose a lot of players off of that number one defense. So I think if you had to rank the teams, you know, 1 to 25 defense alone, Georgia's right there, 1, 2, or 3, at least, you know, right off the bat, they're pretty much loaded. So if in those few days of spring practice, when you were able to go tackle to the ground, you know, when they could have a scrimmage, it would be interesting to see how Monken's offense install fared against if they went good on good, if they went 1 versus 1. We wouldn't get to see it, but we'd hear about it. So that's kind of a, damn, I wish we'd, you know, that part had happened. So I think you're right when it comes to recruiting. This is the time to see if there is a shift, a paradigm shift in how Kirby wants to run the program. And I hadn't thought about the fact that if it does work out really well, you could have a situation where you're replacing Monken right off the bat. Yeah, that would suck.
But then you got Buster Faulkner kind of right behind him as a graduate assistant or as an offensive analyst. And I think that he's a guy who could step into that role. Or you got Matt Luke, who has previous experience as an offensive coordinator. Maybe you elevate him, put Buster on the offensive line. You know, there's a lot of options. There's a lot of ways that they can play this. And I think that Georgia has really kind of set themselves up for that. Now, but one thing I wanted to ask Trent was, you know, we're talking about all these guys and how they fit. If you're looking at the board right now, Trent, you know, who are three guys that kind of jump out to you as like, you know, gotta close the door on these guys? Because I've got three in mind. I'm interested to hear your three.
Well, I think Mims is one. I think you got to lock down that
Peach State guy.
Always having that tackle that's from in-state. I think you have to lock him down. I mean, you could even go as far as naming, you know, two or three of these in-state offensive linemen with Terrence Ferguson and Michael Morris. I think Barrett Carter is another one that would be a good get with the linebacker core that Georgia took.
You're 2 for 2 on my list so far.
I think that would be with what Georgia only taking one linebacker in the class last year. I think Barrett Carter is a must get with him right down the road in Gwinnett. And also James Williams, as much as he's been on campus, I think that would be a huge get with Richard LeCount being in his last year, Williams coming in and just pairing him with a guy like Lewisine and the depth Georgia's got at safety, but bringing a guy in like James Williams would be a big plus. I think those three guys would be three guys I looked at.
God, that's a great – yeah, you make a great point on James Williams, and I hadn't even considered that. He's the Keely Ringo or the Kendall Milton of this class in terms of how much time he's already spent on campus. You want to talk about a guy who is very comfortable with Georgia, what they have to offer. I mean, he's been up here, I think he said, between 12 and 15 times already in his recruitment. So the other guy I was looking at was Tony Grimes. I think that just based on what Georgia likes to do, based on the direction that SEC offenses are going, you know, and how they covet those guys, I could definitely see that. Grimes high on the list for them. And then, you know, I think that you got to go out and find maybe a guy who can be a difference maker in the pass rushing game, because you're going to lose some talent there with Jermaine Johnson. Nolan Smith, if he's in for a big year this year, probably only got one more year left with him. You know, you're going to have an opportunity there, I think, to go out and add some guys who can make some differences there.
What about Green or Micah Morris? Do either one of those kind of fit your
Nyland Green?
Yeah.
So yeah, Nyland, I think, is a guy that fits well within the defensive back class. I think that you're talking about, you know, big bodied, probably, to me, physically reminds me of Devon Wilson. Kind of that bigger bodied guy, could probably step into that star position and make an impact there. I think George would love to get him in. And then Micah Morris, as far as I'm concerned, those three offensive line, as Trent said, you could circle all three of those guys as must-gets in this class. And I think Georgia has a chance to get Micah Morris, Terrence Ferguson, and Amarius Mims. And if they do that, call it a day. Hang up the Spurs and let Matt Luke smoke a Cuban cigar.
Yeah, but I mean, I like where Georgia is with those two, but I'm wondering, are they worthy of being included in that top three guys that Georgia has to lock down, has to finish out with? You know, you got to get Mims, you got to get Carter, you got to get Williams or Grimes. I mean, does Nyland Green or Micah Morris fit into that? What about Carroll? You know, I mean, are those the guys that you're like, hey, you got to pull this off?
I understand that from the in-state angle, that you're going there. But I think too that you've got to go. I mean, Georgia has built themselves around being able to still pull nationally, and so I think that you give a guy like Grimes maybe preference over a Nyland Green.
That's why I ask you guys. I don't know.
You're the recruiter. If I'm looking at, if it's a toss-up for me between Micah Morris and, let's say, Mario Williams or Ajayi Hall, I'm probably leaning toward the freaky wide receiver because of how Georgia seems to be wanting to kind of rework a lot of this offense. You've got some depth at the offensive line. I'm not saying that you can afford to miss out on a guy like that. You can't, but I do think that if you get the toss-up, that's just my feeling, that maybe you lean toward the skill guy.
Yeah, I agree. I like Chris Hilton too.
Yeah, he's pretty legit.
Absolutely.
Now we're seeing a lot of the former. We have a lot of former Georgia players that we're talking to when it comes to we're doing catching up with, and Dane has done some great podcasts with these guys. Patrick Garvin's done good catching up pieces with it. So there's a lot of UGAsports.com right now. Again, you can check it all out for free until July 1st. But I want to ask you guys, we're seeing a lot of the current players who are, they're not allowed to come back to campus. They're not allowed to be doing all their lifting. They're not allowed to be doing all the workouts. So we see Coach Sinclair, he's putting out, little videos of what you should be doing at home. And I'm sure that, he's sending them workout regimens to do where they can, not publicly, but he's doing some fun stuff on Twitter and such. But you're also seeing a lot of these Georgia players filming their workouts and calling out their position mates or their teammates or guy, roommates, hey, where are you at? Of those videos that you've seen, who do you think has put out the best one? Who do you think's got the strongest workout video going right now?
Nolan Smith kind of started the whole trend. So I've got it, which is no surprise given Nolan is.
But he's so young.
But he's a shit talker. He's a guy who he is. And so, I was not surprised to see that he kind of led the trend on that. Stokes looked like he was getting some good work out there. We know that Jermaine Burton is spending some time with Terrence Edwards and getting some work in with him as well. So, I think that to see him kind of lead the charge, though, I think was really impactful for the team, especially as a young guy. He's going to be looked at as a vocal leader this year.
Yeah, Deion Coles is another guy working with Terrence Edwards, right?
Yes, I believe so.
About those workout videos, though, a lot of times fans don't really understand what they're seeing out there on Saturdays, especially when they're all up in pads and everything, because I think most people would have thought Prather Hudson was just a little old walk-on running back from Columbus, Georgia. That guy's an athlete, man. And he is more athletic than the majority of who anyone knows. And so they don't understand that throughout the entirety of the roster, they're all elite athletes.
Yeah. When so I was walking, there's a loop around my house. Go out in my neighborhood, take a bunch of rights. And when I get back to it, it's 3 miles. So I've been doing that, you know, just to stay sane. And I'm walking and there's three people jogging my way. And one of them happens to be Rodrigo Blankenship. He was like, and he stops for a second. Hey, you know, and just says hi. If you've ever seen Rodrigo, a kicker, you know, this guy's got the veins going over his bicep. You know, he's all vascular. I'm like, he's a kicker. For crap's sake. But again, if you're going to be in Sinclair's weight room, you are going to be in great shape. I thought that the, you know, Monty Rice did a video. He's calling out some guys and he's having fun with it. Like I said, Prather Hudson, pound for pound, one of the strongest, toughest kids on that roster. Eric Stokes running up the hill. I think he was at, it looked like he was at Georgia. I think that was,
I think he was on one of the IN fields.
Yeah, or maybe somewhere over there. So he's working out, you know, nearby, running steps, doing push-ups and stuff like that. And I'm like, for guys who have, you know, 3 or 4 lifts a week who are not allowed to do that, they got to be going damn stir crazy. I just can't imagine what it's like, you know. So, but I thought it's kind of nice that they have this kind of public I don't say call it calling out, but they're kind of having fun with it. It's like, look, I'm out here working out. Yeah, exactly. They're sending them around.
I do feel a little bit bad for the special teams guys, though, because whenever practice does resume, that's a long time away from football for Scott Cochran. So there's going to be some pent up energy and already like an energetic. I was joking with Coach Donnan last week. Like, can you imagine the first time that a kicker or punter makes a tackle on some kind of return? Like, what's going to happen to them on the sideline with Scott Cochran?
You're going to need a get back coach for Scott Cochran.
Yeah. You imagine what Scott Cochran's family's going through right now?
They got him running the hill. Go to work. Go to work, please, Dad. Go to work.
Lock him in the garage.
Oh, that's rough.
I'm telling you.
That's all I had for this week. Do you guys have anything else you want to add?
No, not really.
We have a time.
Like I said, keep looking for the diaries. We got more of those coming this week. Looking at be talking to some 2022 guys, which will be an interesting spin on this because, as you know, the coaches can't be in touch with those guys. They've got to be the ones to reach out. So I've had a chance to catch up with some of them, see how that's going for them. An interesting process for those guys. And then we'll be catching up with some of the guys that we talked to last week as well about, you know, kind of how things are going moving forward and all of this.
I know we had a really good story today, you know, on Nazir Stackhouse. You know, he's running 100 meter back when the track season was still in, still going on. And the video got out of him placing second in the 100-yard dash. He talks about he can run a 100-meter dash, excuse me. And I like this comment about, you know, why are you running track? He's like, well, I got to be able to catch quarterbacks, don't I? And I thought that was a great line. I'm like, all right, Nazir's going to be fun. And remember, this is a guy that when he first committed, it was so early in the process. We're like, are they even taking guys in his class yet? I mean, it seemed like it was, like, 2 years out, you know? So, and he committed today. Georgia beat Auburn, you know, it was just kind of a crazy day. But Nazir Stackhouse, another signee. We have stories on him. We have stories on Jefferson. We have stories on JaQuincy McKinstry.
Kool-Aid.
Various, man, Kool-Aid. I mean, I just got a notification while we're doing the show. Chad Simmons sent us another story. Premium update on 2021 linebacker Ian Jackson. We have a crap ton of stories at UGASports.com.
And I'll give a plug to the Dog Days podcast as well. We had JT Wall on last week, former fullback, and now head coach at Johnny Milledge Academy. This week, we've got Ben Jones, the center for the Tennessee Titans, off of his AFC championship game appearance. He chatted with me during his daughter's nap time. He's got a 2-year-old daughter. So, you know, that was fun to chat with him. Next week, we've got a former kicker who now, as of last year, put out an album. He is a pop singer.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I thought that was just Rick's kids that were doing that.
Wait, are you talking about Billy Bennett?
I can't tell you, Roddy. That's why it's a tease.
Yeah, but you didn't deny it.
And get over and check out Trent's film reviews too. Two great looks at both Marlon Dean and the newest addition, Jonathan Jefferson. Really give you a sense of how these guys can fit into what Georgia does defensively, what those guys bring to the table skill wise. So great job as always on that stuff, Trent.
Anyway, yeah, good job, Trent. And I guess we'll tell Dane good job just because he gets all these great interviews and stuff. So again, ton of stuff coming at UGASports.com. All of it's free. Sorry I didn't hit up all our, you know, commercial friends, but if you get a chance, check out Athens Ford. They do great work out there. Air and overhead doors, they are still working, you know, because people still have garage door problems. So
I saw yesterday they said they could do a installation totally touchless. No interaction with you. You submit everything online. They come in, ding, bing, bang, bong, and they're out.
They're doing great work there. Of course, Academia Brewing Company, and you can't go in and have a meal there, but you can pick up food from them. They are also doing they're feeding people in town. So you can support Academia Brewing Company. We appreciate that. And of course, I went to Your Pie 2, 3, 5, 7, a bunch last week. So if you get a chance, you can
hit. What'd you get? What kind of pizza?
I just made one, you know, because customize it. So I'm like, oh yeah, let me have the cauliflower crust, you know, so I can, you know, wash
you
my figure.
You ain't eating no damn cauliflower.
Actually, I tried it. It was good.
Would you get vegan cheese too? You're gonna
I put enough meat on there to completely negate any healthy aspects of the crust. But, you know, and oh, you can do the extra cheese. You can do all that stuff on there. It's the same price, you know. So you get as much stuff. You know, so I always hate the other restaurants. Like, oh, you want two meats? Well, that's going to be another $10. You know, but no, you can get customize it completely. And I went
order online and do the curbside pickup. Man,
that's exactly what I did. I ordered online, went, got it for $3.14. By the way, because they extended their Pi Day thing, so I went by and picked up a pizza and some other stuff, and it was great. I also tried to take care of our friends over at Loco's. Another local restaurant chain. So if you get a chance, folks, I know you're stuck at home. I'm sure a lot of you are cooking, but take care of as many local restaurants as you can. It means a lot to them. The more people they can keep employed during this, the better we will come out the backside of it. So
there's a couple ways you can do that too. If you don't want to get the takeout food, if you want to get a gift card from these places and use it later on, that gives them cash now to kind of help out with their employees. Yeah. There's a lot of different fundraisers going on out there to help people out during this time. One of our event members is a guy named Robbie York, who runs American Whiskey, the UGA Watch Party Bar in New York City. And they've got a fundraiser going now. I think if you donate $50, you get put in a raffle to win some pretty nice bourbons and different booze, and more information is coming on that. But Robbie gave me a call earlier in the week. If you can do that for any of these restaurant establishments, places that you love to go, it really helps them stay afloat in a really tough time.
Yeah. I encourage people too to go seek out the Athens Virtual Tip Jar. If you're somebody like me who frequents the watering holes around Athens, there are ways that you can essentially just Venmo to your favorite bartenders. And so I've been trying to take care of my bartenders while I know that they're out of work. And miss you guys. Ready to get back in the swing of things.
Yeah, we can actually find liquor on the shelves now. So it's just, Jake's having to stay home. We can actually all drink again. But when you get a chance, I forgot to say that Academia Brewing Company, you can't pick up their beer too. So swing by, and if you're going to be at home, we might as well be at home with great beer. I think it's going to be really interesting when this is over. I was mentioning this to Patrick Garvin. A lot of people have always said, I just wish I had more time with my family. I wish America was more like France or Italy, where you spend more time with your family. And I think a lot of people are going to find out, yeah, you know, work is not the end all be all of your existence. You do need to spend more time with your family. But I also think some people are going to be like, yeah, working 55 hours a week is just fine with me. I really think there's going to be a lot of myths destroyed when this thing is all over. So one thing that won't be destroyed though is UGASports.com. We have a ton of content. We're still working full tilt as much as we can. A lot of interesting stories and stuff there, so that you don't have to spend your entire day reading about COVID-19 or politics.
Talking to your family.
Talk, yeah, screw your family. Screw that too. Swing by ujsports.com. Come get a respite from the craziness and join the conversations at ujsports.com. We have that all for you. Later in the week, we'll have the podcast with Jim Donnan. Dane Young will knock that out. If you have any questions for Coach, send them to Dane. Hit him up on Twitter, Facebook, call him. I'll give you his number in just a minute. So you can call him and tell him your questions.
Just give him my address and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Swing by his house.
Social security number.
Yeah, my bank account's there. Yeah,
mother's maiden name. Yeah. Get that 47 cents he has in his college fund. So hit him up, and we will talk to you folks next week. Y'all take care.